Hello, my name is Jessica Trotter, and I'm a librarian with the Capital Area District Library, and I'm thrilled to be talking with author Kelly Link, one of the instructors for the 38th Clarion Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Workshop at Michigan State. Today we're recording from the G. Robert Vinson Voice Library at the Michigan State University of Libraries. Kelly is the author of two collections of short stories and numerous other short stories, the first Stranger Things Happen, and the most recent one, Magic for Beginners. Her work has been highly recognized in various, particularly on like 2005's end of the year best lists, including ones by Salon, Time. She has also been recognized by with two Nebula Awards this year, one for the title story Magic for Beginners. And we are very thrilled to have her here talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're a graduate of Clarion.
Yes, I am.
What can you tell us? What did you get out of the Clarion program?
I was in Clarion about 10 years ago. It seems like an awful long time. What did I get out of it? I came to the Clarion workshop straight out of an MFA program. I got an MFA in creative writing from the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And as soon as I graduated, about 3 weeks later, I came to MSU, and the two experiences were very different. With the MFA program, it was 2 years, and this was 6 weeks.
Boot camp.
I loved both of them. It was a great way to get perspective, to sort of be exposed to basically two different kinds of traditions of writing. And by that, I don't mean that genre writers don't pay attention to the things that literary writers pay attention to, but there was much more focus on markets. Also, there was much more focus on community. And I really came away from Clarion feeling as if the science fiction community was supportive, nurturing, also that they read each other's work. And there was something really gratifying about that. And because it was crammed into such a short period of time, I wrote more stories here than I did in the 2 years that I was in my MFA program. So in a certain way, it was actually this great experience to go through this very slow MFA process and then come here and then just pick up speed. And I made a lot of friends.
What drew you back as a teacher?
I really love reading fiction, and I like talking about fiction. I like talking about writing. And so, you know, all the work that I do revolves around writing or books in some way, but teaching and workshops, not even so much teaching as just being around people who are writing, really re-energizes me. I feel useful in ways that I don't normally feel useful. And it's also just pleasurable to be in a group of people who are focusing pretty closely on narrative and on things that you can do when you're trying to tell stories. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I a lot of the time I feel as if the place I would most like to be is in a workshop where people are looking seriously at writing. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, if you're a writer and when you publish work, you don't know who your audience are and you don't know how people are responding to your work. Mm-hmm. And so at Clarion, you know, not only do you find out what one person, you know, thought was essential about the thing that you've written, but you hear, you know, this year there are 21 students, I think, at the moment, and so each writer is hearing the story reflected back from over 20 people,
right.
And it's very useful to realize that people read stories differently, and in some ways it's terrifying, and in some ways it's really liberating to think, you know, not everybody reads the same way. And so even though I'm not writing while I'm here, I'm spending all of my time thinking about story.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to writing speculative fiction?
I grew up reading it. That was, you know, I read everything. I read everything when I was a kid, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that was always the work that I responded to, and that was the work that I sought out. And even when I was in my MFA program, the stuff that I was writing was fantasy. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, I call myself a science fiction writer, but really there's no science in it. So I was writing ghost stories and fantasy when I was in the program.
Your work actually has been really noted for crossing a lot of boundaries out of the science fiction community or science fiction fantasy community? Was it something that's just a happy coincidence? Is it something you aim for? Is it because of your MFA background, do you think? Or?
I don't know. There may be certain things that people can point to that make it easier for a mainstream audience or for critics who are approaching from, you know, a sort of a field that has some overlap, but not a lot, for them to say, well, she went through an MFA program, or, you know, there are these things that she's obviously paying, you know, homage to or something. But I thought I would be writing for a genre audience. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was one of the things about being here at Clarion, was realizing that even within genre, there are a lot of different audiences.
Right.
And you really, as a writer, you have to write the stories that you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
You have no control over what people will think of them, what kinds of audiences those stories will find. And so I feel as if when my first collection came out, that there were people who had their, you know, who are coming from genre, who were sort of in the process of moving a little bit outside of genre.
Mm-hmm.
People like Jonathan Lethem and Karen Joy
Right.
Fowler. And so the reason that my book got passed to other people was, in fact, because of genre writers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, somebody was sort of blazing trails
Right.
for me on my behalf.
Right. Okay. I thought of a question and it's gone now. Sorry.
That's okay.
I guess I'll jump to the next. Can you tell us a little bit about your actual writing process?
Yes. the easiest thing to sort of say about my writing process is that I really don't like the process of sitting down to write. You know, there are some writers, fortunate writers, who like everything about sitting down to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do anything to keep myself from having to sort of start typing out new sentences. And so when I'm home, what I do is I will either drive or ride my bike or walk into town with my computer, and I meet up with a writer who lives in Amherst, Holly Black. And she and I will sit in a cafe and we will work together. And this way I feel guilty if I'm not working, because
mm-hmm.
I can see that she has her computer and she's also working. It also means that there's lots of stuff going on around me, but it's not stuff that I have to be responsible for in any
mm-hmm.
way. If I stay home, then I do. I work with the books that we're publishing as Small Beer, or else I have dishes to do.
Right.
Either I have, you know, other kinds of work, or else I have housework. So I really have to leave the house.
Magic for Beginners has become a kind of a cult favorite at the library.
Oh,
I mean, our collection specialist is quite really fond of it, and she's not. She would not consider herself, really, I would say, speculative or reader, per se. I run a science fiction or speculative fiction discussion group, too, that's also looking at it tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And everybody's had some great comments about it. What can I tell them to look forward to? What are you working on now?
I have been working on a lot of young adult short stories, and even stories like Magic for Beginners
mm-hmm.
and Fairy Handbag. When I started writing them, they felt in a lot of ways like young adult fiction.
Mm-hmm.
The protagonists are younger, the things that happen to them sort of fit into the genre. I used to work in a children's bookstore,
okay.
and I, as well as loving genre work, I love young adult fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm writing sort of longer novellas,
mm-hmm.
which are still young adult, and I thought maybe I was moving towards writing a novel, but in the last couple of months, what I've realized is I desperately want to go back to writing really short stories, because I'm forgetting how to do it,
mm-hmm.
And so I feel as if I'm moving towards novels. I'm not really all that good, I feel, at sort of putting some of this stuff together, or at least I can't do some of the things I could do in short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm forgetting how to do all this stuff.
Right.
Like, leave things out.
Focusing on the other.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. When I wrote Magic for Beginners, I imagined it as a story without an ending, because I really badly wanted people who like the story to sort of go on
mm-hmm.
and sort of come up with the things that happen
right.
around that particular story.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways I feel very guilty that it won an award because I got an award for a story with no ending. It's really half a story.
Okay. Who are some of your favorite authors today?
Oh, favorite authors. You know, when I come teach at Clarion, one of the things that I do is I try and bring books for students. And so that's always a great process because I start going to used bookstores and mm-hmm. looking for some of my favorite books. There are also, so I'm going to divide this into two categories. Okay. The books that I bring that I think other people will love and then the books that I really mm-hmm. passionately am attached to. Right. I love Joan Aiken, who wrote young adult books mm-hmm. and also short story collections and romance novels and mysteries, gothics. One of the books that I always bring for students is Ann Patchett's novel, Bel Canto, okay. which is a lovely novel. I think I've brought Jane Hamilton's novel, Disobedience. Okay. There's a writer, a short story writer, Joe Hill, who has a small press collection out right now called 20th Century Ghosts, okay. which is just an amazing book. It's from a small British press, so it's hard to track down, but I think that mm-hmm. they will republish it eventually here as a mass market. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, T.H. White, The Once and Future King, is, I don't write anything like T.H. White, but I love his work so much. Every time I read him, I think, mm-hmm. this is what I would really like to do. And, you know, I've actually been able to publish one of my favorite authors, Carol M. Schwiller,
okay.
who wrote a number of short story collections. She had a young adult novel out, The Mount, which we published, and then she had another one called Mr. Boots. Mm-hmm. And she's still writing. She's in her 80s, mm-hmm. and she's an amazing writer.
Is there anything you've read, any old favorite or recent reads that you really think everybody should know about?
I just taught in North Carolina. I taught for a semester, mm-hmm. a freshman literature composition course, and the two books that I really enjoyed teaching most of all, I built the course around coming-of-age stories and young adult novels, mm-hmm. and so we read a bunch of stuff, but the book that I think everybody should at least take a look at is Linda Berry's novel Cruddy. Okay. Which is beautiful. I love her comic strips as well mm-hmm. and her art, but this is a fantastic novel. It's very dark. It reads a little bit like a fairy tale. And I just, every time I read it, I am deeply, deeply moved, not just by what happens, but by the language. Mm-hmm. And then the other novel that I really loved teaching was Thirsty, which is a young adult novel by M.T. Anderson.
Okay.
Which is about a boy who discovers that he's becoming a vampire. And it's very, very, very funny. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, novels, I think everybody should probably take a look at Bel Canto. Mm-hmm. Everybody should read Grace Paley at some point. Beloved is one of my all-time favorite books. Mm-hmm. When that was voted the most popular book, mm-hmm. The best novel of the last 50, I was so happy, I was so annoyed. When people started saying, well, yep. you know, that's maybe not, I was like, it's clearly the best. You know, if we're gonna have a best book, I think that was a great choice. So, and that's partly how you can tell if you really love a book is if you become really annoyed when other people don't
say
love
something.
It.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's a newer fantasy writer, Naomi Novik, who has had three books come out. The first one is His Majesty's Dragon.
Also very popular right now.
Oh, I loved it. It gave me chills. It made me so happy.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you for talking to us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been a pleasure to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.